Hello and welcome to the WellFest podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle, the brand new health, fitness and wellness podcast brought to you by WellFest together with presenting partners KBC. KBC are supporting communities across Ireland, bringing you tips on health and well-being as part of their sustainability actions. Partnering with leaders in health and fitness such as WellFest and the KBC Dublin Marathon, they are playing a part in creating positive experiences that can be enjoyed by all. You can log on to kbc.ie to find out more, because KBC wants you feeling well good for WellFest. WellFest 2020. Now, let's dive into this week's episode. Catherine Thomas is one of Ireland's best-loved TV presenters and has also made a name for herself as a successful businesswoman in the health and wellness space. She is the founder of Pure Results Retreats, creator of KT Bum Fit, presenter of Operation Transformation, and to top it all off, she is also mum to the beautiful Ellie. Catherine,
oh,
you are very
welcome. That's such a nice intro.
I'm actually really looking forward to this interview because you're a talker.
I am.
I feel like this is
going to
be the easiest interview I've ever done.
Well, you know what? It's nice to be the other side of the mic as well.
It's also a bit daunting for me to interview an interviewer.
I'm
a bit like, oh God.
I get that. Last year at WellFest, I interviewed Fern Cotton.
Oh wow! No way.
Yeah, she was fab. But the year before, I interviewed Davina. And Marty, I nearly lost my marbles. Like, I am the biggest Davina fan. She has been my inspiration since I was 16, you know, from the time she started on MTV, and then watching her go through her whole fitness, you know, the career just exploded, and she was amazing. Ellie was only 6 weeks old. My little one was only 6 weeks old.
So you had a lot going on.
And I was like, the only person I'm going to get out of my pregnancy, big, you know, like maternity, post-pregnancy bed is Davina McCall. So when I was interviewing her, you know, she got on stage, I was so nervous.
Of course, yeah.
I was so nervous, but she's totally, you know, people say don't meet your heroes, but it was fabulous to have her at WellFest and meet her. And we kind of kept in touch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she sent me a couple of messages. Yeah. She was like, you should come out and do a Pure Results boot camp in Ibiza. She's like, I'll go on the decks. She was just learning to DJ, I think, at the time.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah. So don't worry. I'm a talker, so you're good.
Well, it's clear to see that you are very passionate about helping people improve their health and well-being, from Operation Transformation to Pure Results. You must have been a part of so many people's journeys to living a healthier life. Mm. Where did your own passion for health and fitness come from? When did it all start?
Well, you know, I was always kind of sporty in school, but I was never very good. You know, I was never on the A teams or the, you know, first teams. I was always kind of, you know, I was a great C, or I was a great, you know, team three player.
I love hearing that, because people would never really mention that ever if they were part of that, you know. Oh yeah, I played basketball in school, that'd be it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no, I was on the C team.
Yeah,
you never hear that.
I was never on the first team in hockey or basketball or football or anything, but I loved it, you know, and I'd be quite competitive by nature. So sport was always a big thing for us in the school that I went to. It was compulsory. And then when I was always an outdoors kid as well. Like, I was a bit of a tomboy. Uh-huh. From the time I was 3 or 4, I remember, because my brother is a year older than me. So it was always the two of us. And I was always looking to him as well. So we were always out climbing trees. I mean, being outside and being outdoors was a massive part of our childhood. Mm-hmm. And then with school, it was kind of the same. And then I did No Frontiers, the travel show, which basically I did that for 10 years. And I traveled around the world with a bag on my back. So we were outside all the time. I never owned a desk. I never had a desk until I ended up producing No Frontiers, the travel show, like,
you were like,
assistant producer.
What's this? How does
so
it work?
All of a sudden I was sitting at this desk, you know, trying to set up stories in Australia or the Middle East or whatever. But I think possibly that is where, I mean, I love being outdoors. I love being outside. If I don't get outside every day, I don't feel right. So for me, running outdoors and being on the move. And so, you know, obviously with Operation Transformation, which has been a huge part of my life for 10 years, and Pure Results, which I've been running for 5 years now, which is my own fitness company, my interest and my knowledge in the whole health and wellness area has improved, because I'm working with experts in the field all the time. But definitely for me, I think it started with me being an outdoors kid, and then having that, like, those really formative years between 20 and 30, when I was traveling with No Frontiers, I was outside, I was climbing, I was hiking, I was trekking, I was canoeing, I was swimming. So it's just, yeah, it just, it makes me feel good. And I kind of, you know, I always need to be outside. All my mates who know me go, has she been outside today?
Obviously, I went down to visit the Pure Results Camp in Wexford for the day. And it's funny you mention outdoors, because bar playing basketball outdoors, that was the first time ever that I have done exercise outdoors. And the difference it makes is ridiculous. Even just being on a field.
And I think because, like, I go to the gym, you go to the gym. So I suppose when you have very little time in the day and your workout is indoors.
Yeah. And you've got everything kind of within
everything
it. Yeah.
That you need, like, you know, for your resistance training. But it's the one thing that our clients say to us all the time. So we run all inclusive retreats for 7 days. So you can come to us for 7 days, and we have locations all around Ireland and in Spain, or you can come to us for 2 or 3 days. But when people come to us for 7 days, the clients, always the feedback is, I have never spent that much time outside since I was a kid. You know, since I was at summer camp or Gael Skull or Irish College or whatever. And it's that feeling of rain, hail or shine, get your arse outside, get outdoors and understand and feel what it's like, and feel what it how good it is for not just your body, but for your head as well.
Yeah, I feel like the gods are on my side that day, because obviously I went down with my good friend Trisha Lewis, who was down there for a few days, and I got the best weather we could have possibly got. We ended up on the beach doing boxercise, the sun was shining, ended up going for a dip and everything. So I got lucky that the day I went down that we had nice weather. But
the one thing I will say as well, though, if you've never boxed in the rain.
I'd never boxed.
Had you not?
No.
Oh my God.
My arms were in bits.
My favourite thing in the world to do. It's my favourite class. Boxercise is my favourite class. And if you've never boxed to lose yourself, Eminem, in the lashing rain with the music just pumping up, you've not lived. So you've got to come down again in the lashings of rain.
And bring the Eminem album with me for sure. Let's talk a bit about Operation Transformation. You know, the leaders make their journeys very public by sharing the whole process on national television. Do you think that them being in the public eye, it kind of motivates them that little bit more and kind of makes them more accountable for
sure? I do, because I mean, there is the momentum there of the support. You've got the eyes of the nation watching you. You are less likely to fall off a very public wagon, I suppose. That's just, you know, being really honest about it. And what we aim to do as a production team, with the four experts on board as well, is to, you know, they are going to lose weight on the show, and they are going to have all the tools, they have access to all of this expertise, whether it's psychological or nutrition or fitness with Carl or medical with Sumi. They have this full complement of expertise for 8 weeks. So the whole ethos of the show is to give them enough tools and to give them the equipment that when the cameras do go and they're not on that very public wagon, that they have enough knowledge then to make sure that they can keep the momentum going when the cameras are gone.
I was going to say that would probably be the hard part, wouldn't it?
It's the hardest part, and all of our ex-leaders will say that. That week or two when the show finishes and all of a sudden you're not in the papers, you're not online, you know, you're not coming into studio every week for the weigh-in. That's the time when all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I'm on my own. And it's the adjustment period. It's the adjustment period of going back to your old life, having been, you know, 500,000 people watching you every week, then going back to your old.
Keeping an eye on, oh my.
So, you know, and it'll still happen. I mean, I get it as well. I'd be pushing the trolley in the supermarket and people are looking at what I'm putting in my trolley.
I'd say so, yeah. They're like, she just put a packet of cookies in there?
Yeah. Or going on a Friday evening, I have to send my husband to go and get the wine.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
But yeah, so it's incredible the impact that the show has had on people. And I'm really proud to say that the majority and the ratio of our leaders over the last 13 years who keep the weight off is huge. You know, it's a massive percentage of them that keep the weight off, as opposed to those who kind of put it back on or plateau.
I heard you say something really interesting, and being someone that kind of works in media as well, it kind of struck a chord at me, because I listened to you to have a chat with Carl Henry, and you told him that when you're offered the job, you initially said no, which is mad to think, because you've done 10 seasons of it now.
And to look
back and think that you said no, what were the reasons again that you said no?
Well, you see, Jerry Ryan had been doing the show for 3 years. When I think of like the three broad broadcasters who had the most impact on me pushing and driving and becoming a runner and making teas and coffees and wanting to get into television.
Yeah.
Three people spring to mind. Davina, who I said, Oprah, who is the queen, and Jerry Ryan. They'd be the three people. And I just felt that his shoes were shoes that couldn't be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his own very Jerry style of presenting the show, and I just felt that you couldn't compete with that. And I had been travel girl, you know, I had been sort of extreme sports travel girl, and all of a sudden I was kind of taking on this role of getting into a weight loss arena, you know. Yeah, that was the reason. It was just like how he delivered and how he presented and how he just was with people. There was no one like Jerry with people.
Yeah.
And I kind of was just anxious and nervous and didn't think I had it in me. And it took, you know, the production team, and it took Mary Curtis, a brilliant woman in RTE, to convince me, and Mick Ryan, Jerry's brother, to convince me that, you know, give it a go, take it on and make it your own. And that was the thing. The production team then allowed me make it my own. So my whole thing was I wanted to be out running with them. I wanted to be training with them. I wanted to be, you know, in it with them as much as possible. So I was allowed to do that. And it's kind of worked so far.
It definitely has worked 10 years on. Like, I love hearing stories like that. Like, they're great. They really, really are. Because it's like one of those what if things, you know. I hate saying what if, because something really like grinds my gears. But it is a what if, you know. And it's amazing that you did go and take it.
Well, when I got over myself, actually, and I realised, and when I realized actually where my passion lies is seeing people believe in themselves, you know, to seeing people have this confidence or getting that confidence out of people. And I think I've been very fortunate in my choice of career and how it's gone. And I really feel very blessed with the, you know, since I started in TV when I was 18. So I've kind of had the career that I've had, and to be involved in a show like Operation Transformation is incredible, because every year people go, oh, is that going to be it? How can it go on again for another year? But when you've got five people every year who put themselves forward,
who are all completely different,
they're different stories all the time. But at its very core and at its very essence, and it was the same with The Voice as well. Actually, when you had people
that is another show that kind of has that tag, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, they've done it. How can they do it again? And yet,
and it just kept rolling, and it keeps rolling in the UK. And again, it is about people putting themselves into a place where they're not comfortable. And I love seeing people achieve in that space. So for me, I will do Operation Transformation forever, you know. And in the same way that, you know, I set up my own company, and it was with exactly that passion in mind. It was like combining my passion for travel and combining my passion for helping people and seeing people, and not even helping people, because I think that sounds a bit twee as well, but it's really about seeing people deliver their capabilities.
Yeah.
That for me is just like magic.
Yeah, job satisfaction at its best, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of your companies, while you were pregnant, you not only kept up your own fitness regime, which is obviously extremely impressive, but you created the Bump Fit program to help other expectant mothers do the same. This is something that, you know, obviously as a guy, I still have interest in it, you know.
Yep.
How important is it for pregnant mothers to keep active during pregnancy? Because you see a lot of people having different opinions on it. I know online opinions, all that, like it's really topical and that, but you do see people having mixed opinions on certain exercises and weightlifting and stuff. You know, how important is it for, you know, an expectant mum to be active during pregnancy?
I think where it is possible, it is massively important. And, you know, I did an awful lot of research, because I had a 3.5, myself and my husband had a 3.5 year journey trying to get pregnant. So in that time, I went through all the motions. I was like, am I exercising too much?
Gotcha,
am I doing too much resistance work? Am I doing too much cardio? You know, am I not eating enough red meat? Like, your brain goes through, and you put yourself through all of this hardship, you know. And I suppose from a fertility perspective, we did the whole thing of, you know, the IVF and fertility treatment, and it was a long journey and it was a long process. So then when eventually I did get pregnant, I stopped everything. I went, oh my God, I'm pregnant. And this happened for the three times in particular that I did get pregnant, that I just stopped everything, because I was so nervous, and I was in that sort of panic mode. Don't do anything, wrap yourself up in cotton wool. And then I'd get to the 12 week mark, and when I got to the 12 week mark on my pregnancy with Ellie, then I could feel myself exhale and relax a little bit and go, okay. And my consultant was saying, you're fine at 8 weeks and you're fine at 9 weeks and you're fine, you know, you're grand.
But
go back doing what you're doing.
Where you're worried.
But I just had fear.
Yeah,
like I was just kind of covered in this fear. So for me, getting back to at the 12-week mark, I was going mental because, you know, it was the first time in years I hadn't trained.
Well, for somebody who spent 10 years on the road being so active,
yeah.
Like, to go that long without doing anything.
You're afraid to, it was almost like you're afraid to walk. You're afraid to do anything. It was all psychological, obviously, but that was just the way it affected me. So getting back out again was really important. And then looking at different programs that were online, I felt that I couldn't find anything that was suitable for me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to do home workouts. And it was so important. And you know, when you look at what your body goes through when you're pregnant, it is the biggest physical change for a woman. And so when you think of the actual stresses of not just pregnancy, but of childbirth, you want to be in the optimum, your optimum physical health. So having strong, you know, having strength, making sure you're doing your squats and your lunges, all of that.
I was going to talk about the squats thing because a good friend of mine, her best friend, I think is at 7 months now. Mm-hmm. And she's happily posting videos online of her doing squats and stuff, remaining active and that. And the comments that she gets are so mixed. You know, people really have mixed opinions. And
it depends on the pregnancy as well. Like if you've got a baby that's breached, you know, there are exercises and sometimes squats are not the right exercises to do.
Okay.
So I would really, and again, it's because every pregnancy is different. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And I also understand, and I'm very conscious not to going, oh, it's so important for women to exercise when they're pregnant. It absolutely is. But some women can't.
Yeah.
Some women have been given guidance and direction from their doctors or their consultants not to exercise. So it really, it's so individual and the body reacts in such individual ways. But if you've been given clearance to exercise, if you can exercise, you should. This is not about, it's not a time to take up boxing or kickboxing or running if you've never done that before. But just being mobile and increasing your mobility is so hugely important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you just look at the levels of diabetes, you know, pregnancy diabetes in Ireland, and it's really, I suppose the message again is if you can move, you should move.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a godsend. I took up pregnancy yoga as well. I wouldn't be a yogi in any stretch of the word.
I keep meaning to give it a go.
I know.
And every Sunday night, I'm like, this is the week I give it a go. But I just have this fear of giving my time schedule and stuff. You're going to laugh at me for saying this, but the people who are doing it during the day, I find in the classes that I want to go to are all women, you know? So I don't want to be the only guy. Only guy in the class.
They'd be delighted. Don't worry about it. Give it a go.
Just rock up and be the only guy. Well, you told me to do it. I'm going to do it now.
Yeah,
okay,
there you
we'll
go.
Give it a go. Now, let's talk a bit about traveling because you obviously love to travel. And according to your travel blogs, of course, you've been to some amazing places. Let's talk about some of the places you visited and places that you want to visit. So tell me about one of your favorite spots and why.
We got to go down to the Antarctic. Oh, I don't know even how long ago it was now. I mean, 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago. And I suppose now that we're in an age and we're at a time where we're all very much more aware consciously of the issues with climate change.
Yes.
And all of that. For me to get down to a place where I don't think I'll ever get to again, it was so incredible. It was so amazing. We went on an old Russian research vessel. So it wasn't even like, you know, a luxury cruise ship or anything like that. This was like kind of basic. And we went down, flew to South America, went down to a place called Ushuaia, and we did a 2-day crossing across the Drake Passage, which is kind of renowned as being one of the roughest seas in the world. And one of my heroes, sort of my traveling heroes, is Tom Crean and Ernest Shackleton. So it's a story that they took this boat called the Endurance and they tried to reach the South Pole and they got the boat got crushed in the ice. Anyway, big long story, look it up, it's fabulous.
Wow.
But again, he was an Irish guy, and so that was kind of a story that I knew as a kid. So to actually get down to the Antarctic and to get down to South Georgia where they had been was incredible. And it's just like a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
It is like, you think the Antarctic, like you see the David Attenborough documentaries, you think it's going to be white, but it's actually blue. Like,
no,
it's white
way.
And blue.
Oh my god, wow.
And we just got to, we got one night, we got to sleep on the ice and we just pitched tents, and you're talking like it was minus, I don't know what,
pitching,
like,
tents in the ice,
pitching tents, and like and there's nowhere to go to the jacks, right? But you have to go, like, they build you kind of just have to go behind an you know, bit of ice, bit of snow.
But you have the glamour to try, of it
I know,
all, yeah.
But you have to go, so you don't really want to be going out of the tent in the middle of the night because obviously the temperatures.
Yeah, what
so
were the temperatures when you'd gone?
I can't even remember.
Because I think I heard it in the news recently about the abnormal temperatures is going through at the moment. Obviously, but if you were there 15 years ago, it would minus 10.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was minus 10 at nighttime, and during the day it was quite pleasant. You know, it was mm-hmm. like in the, you know, it was 0 to -1.
Pleasant.
But once you're kind of decked up, it's like I say, when you're going for a hike or you're going for a run here, you know, you can just dress for the weather.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the weather's not a problem. Yeah, I just remember waking up and it was like, and when we were there, it was the summertime. So it never gets dark. So actually, even at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's never dark.
You
know, so it's bright for 24 hours of the day. Like it's kind of dusky, but it's not, and it's never pitch dark at all. So 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I was in the tent. I was like, I don't need to go to the toilet. I don't need to go. And then I was like, oh, God, I have to go. So, and I opened the tent and there were like literally about 19, 20 seals from like right in front of our tent. So it was three
no
tents
way.
Pitched. And they were just, you couldn't even move because mm-hmm. they had come up onto the ice. And it was just, I remember just sitting there and for about an hour, like, you know, I forgot that I needed to go to the toilet.
At but that
I was
stage, yeah.
In that zone and in that space and in that world. And it was like a different planet, as I said. And to have that privilege, I just don't think I'll ever have it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it was amazing.
And what about a spot that you haven't been? Because obviously now with social media the way it is, you're able to see places and discover new places to visit. Is there anywhere that you've seen online that you're kind of like, wow, I need to check that place out?
I would probably love to go to, well, there's loads. I've not done any of the deep south in the States. Like mm-hmm. I've never, in all my kind of travels doing No Frontiers, I've never visited the deep south of America. So I'd love to do that just to experience it culturally as well and to kind of, you know, and to explore and the music scene down there as well. Mm-hmm. I'd love that. And also Myanmar is somewhere that is kind of on my radar as well. And again, it's quite divisive in that its regime wouldn't have the best reputation. And again, mm-hmm. that's kind of, there's loads of places in the Middle East that I'd love to go. Myanmar is another one as well in Asia. And it's like, you've got to go, you've got to weigh up actually going, you know, if it's a government or if it's a dictatorship and what it stands for versus why you really want to go and see like great beaches or temples. So I'm still sort of a bit conflicted about that, but that would definitely be up there on the list as well.
And then obviously, because you love to travel and you love health and fitness, you tend to keep on top of that, I presume, while you travel.
Mm.
I struggle with that. I really, really do. How do you manage to do that?
Well, I will be very honest with you as well. Like, even when we were on our honeymoon there, we went to the Caribbean. We went to islands called Turks and Caicos before Christmas. And I was away for 12 days altogether and I saw the gym twice. Like, that was it.
My bad going.
In 12 days, I was like, you know what? It was just because we'd had the wedding and, you know,
yeah,
I was
of course.
Kind of, I was doing a bit of training and I was minding myself before that. And I just went, you know, we had Ellie with us and I just walked the beach and went swimming and everything. And it was just so nice. It actually was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then generally, I mean, I don't travel as much as I do for work anymore. But I, like back in the day, I would have always had, you know, my resistance band with me. That for me was a key component in my packing.
Mm-hmm.
And just doing resistance band works in the hotel room and having a yoga mat with me or running down to any hotel and gym and bringing it up and doing some workouts in the room. That was really important.
Did you find it hard getting into the whole idea of even doing a workout in your hotel room? Because my sister had one of those fitness bikes, but she didn't want it anymore. She'd moved out or whatever. And I was like, oh, no, I'll hold on to that and I'll stick it in my room. Grand. I haven't used it. Like, the idea was great that I could do something in my room, but I just haven't got around to doing it. Like, it was tough to get into that mindset of, it's kind of,
I didn't,
it's your relaxing space, but yet you're doing, you know.
See, I never saw hotel rooms as relaxing spaces because okay. I was away, like I was on the road for 6-7 months of the year combined, mm-hmm. you know. So, and we were literally, you know, you could be away for 3 weeks, home for 2 days, away for a month, back for 3 days. So for me, it was, and plus we were eating out because, you know, you're reviewing restaurants and you're filming this fabulous food.
It sounds like the dream, yeah.
And it was the dream job, it was. But like, because you were chowing down and you know, and you're in a restaurant most nights and, you know, you have the option of having starter, main course, dessert. So you had to be really mindful as well. For the first couple of years, I was like, yes! Let's bring
in
it
the early
on.
20s,
in
yeah.
the early 20s, where you didn't have to really work as hard as I did in my late 20s. So it was about kind of ordering much more consciously and then making sure that I got my, you know, 30 minutes a day in the hotel. And for me, it was great. It was, you know, having my own workouts. And when I started, we didn't really have the internet, which makes me sound so old. Oh my God.
Which is probably why a show like that did so well, though, when you think about
totally,
it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Whereas now, so much of it is online. But yeah, but
the internet.
Like, I don't even know. Like I remember being in the office at my desk, which is the first desk I had, and having to stay back late and get on the phone to Australia and read The Lonely Planet to set up stories in the other side of the world. Whereas now you just jump online, everything's there. But yeah, I remember towards the end, and there's so many good workouts now, as you know, online, that you just flick on 20 minutes in your hotel room
and you can get it done if you really want to. Yeah. I have been told that you are a massive cheese fan.
I love it.
But when you think of Catherine Thomas and you think of Pure Results and you think of Operation Transformation, cheese shouldn't really fit into that persona.
No, I have never been like I think I have got this sort of health and fitness, you know, this super fit, you know, title, which really does not, it doesn't actually fully define who I am. I have an interest in health and fitness. Equally, I have an interest in cheese and
enjoying,
wine and
yeah,
food.
Absolutely.
And I am not a personal trainer. I'm not an expert in any, you know, shape or form in terms of I haven't done courses or anything like that. For me, I have a passion for feeling good and feeling mm-hmm. healthy. I love exercise, but I love food. Like, I'm married to a restaurateur, so food has always been a big part of my life. I love going out for dinner with girls. I love partying. I love my glass of mm-hmm. wine. Love my gin and tonic. So it is about balance. And I mean, I could never give up cheese. We had this for our wedding cake. We didn't have a wedding cake. We actually had this massive big cheese stack from Sheridan's. Yeah. So, and I mean, it is, for me, it's about balance. You know, I'll never give up what I like to do. And what I like to do is eat and I like to train. So it's about having a healthy balance for me. And it's really important now that I have a daughter to give her and to be that sort of role model for her
yes,
as well.
Because that was something else I was going to ask you, because I'm not a parent at the moment, but because I'm exactly like you, I think people kind of do the same thing with me where they kind of go, oh God, Martin's eating something that's not considered in inverted commas healthy. The one thing that interests me as someone who has such an interest in, say, like in health and fitness like yourself is that, does that rub off on your kid, you know? Are you kind of like looking at what the kid's eating, kind of going, well, I wouldn't eat that, so I don't know if I should let you eat it, or...
Yeah, I am, and I'm kind of, I have to stop myself even with Ellie now, because she has got a massive appetite. She's like me, she loves the grub. And, you know, and we're really good. We're thankfully now, she's only two, her favourite food is broccoli. And I
how
know,
did you get
I know. Now,
my mum was literally only talking about how she used to have to mash it up and hide it in my food. When
no,
I was
this
younger.
One, now, she loves, you know, pasta and chocolate and chocolate cake whenever there's a birthday or whatever as well.
You've got millions of people asking right now, how do you get your kid to love broccoli?
No, I also have loads of mothers going, you just wait. You just wait. When
she
gets to three or four, she'll just want to eat white, like pasta, bread and butter, you know. So look, I think they all go through phases, and it's important, but it's important in terms of the food that you have in the house. I was very lucky. My mom was an amazing, is still an amazing cook. And we just had nothing processed in the house when we were kids.
Okay.
Like, we were the kids that looked enviously into everybody else's lunchbox because we had, like, you know, an apple brown bread. And we'd always be trying to trade whatever we could to get the chocolate and crisp out of everybody else's lunchbox. But I think it's about sort of setting the precedence at home, you know, eating home cooked meals, eating as much as we can together. That's really important. And then also, you know, we get a pizza or whatever on a Friday or a Saturday night. She can have pizza, she can have a bit of chocolate.
Of course,
really important as well, you know.
I was going to ask you that, like, how often would you suggest incorporating the balance? Because I've gotten to
we get a takeaway every week.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
like every either Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday night. And it's because we actually don't go out as much as we used to. Like, we'd always, back in the day, we would have gone out for dinner maybe twice a week. Whereas now we actually don't really go out at all anymore, ever. Hopefully it'll come back soon. But for that,
you're,
you
like,
know,
so don't have a child, are you?
But I think so, you know, and again, it's about balance. You know, we love our Thai takeaways. He loves pizza. So, you know, once a week with a bottle of wine, happy days, watching The Box. And I don't think, you know, life is for living as well, you know. And when I say life is for living, I think it's so important that exercise is built into your life. And for me, that's key. What you eat, like 70% of the time, is key as well. and then everything else, you know, you need to find your own balance, really.
Mm-hmm. Since you love food so much, I'd love you to tell us about one of the best meals on planet Earth you've ever had.
Oh my god.
Does anywhere stick out? Like, because yes. Obviously if you did so much traveling, there would have been some meals that you would have looked at going, oh god, I can't eat that, like, no way.
Yeah, no.
But then I'm sure
I remember,
had some meals that were
we had a meal, I can't even remember the name of the restaurant. It was in Adelaide in Australia, in South Australia, and we were doing this wine tour, so that we were touring the wineries of Adelaide, and it was a restaurant that was in Adelaide City. I'm going to actually find it for you because I can't think of the name of it. But it was, I had sea bass, and I have never eaten sea bass like it. It was, I can still taste it now, and it was just done so simply.
Uh-huh.
And again, I think going back to all the simple meals that I've had. I remember another, Greece is one of my favourite countries in the world. Like, I love it.
I was going to say one of my favourite foods.
No. Greasy foods.
Yeah.
Greece is one of my favourite countries in the world. But I love, the Greek food is one of my favourite foods in the world as well. And
I couldn't even tell you what. I've never been to Greece, so I wouldn't know what Greek food is.
Like stuffed vine leaves, stuffed peppers, moussaka,
uh-huh.
Olives. Oh God.
Everyone's getting hungry now.
Tzatziki. This beautiful yogurt with garlic and cucumber. Oh, delicious. Anyway. Oh God, I'm starving.
Yeah.
but we did a story with No Frontiers again, and it was like on a fishing boat. We were out doing a shot fishing, and they just fried off some fish in the boat, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of butter. We were sitting back drinking a glass of wine on the boat, and I remember that. I remember tasting the food and tasting the fish,
mm-hmm.
and eating it like literally straight on the boat, straight from the sea. And again, just beautiful, simple, natural, clean.
It's amazing to be able to ask somebody where their favourite meal has been, and they can go somewhere as Adelaide and go, oh yeah, that's where I had my favourite meal. Oh, but I love the food over here as well. It's really interesting. It's so great. You're clearly such a hard worker. Like, your work ethic blows my mind, because even like you said, you got into TV when you were 18. You had that TV show where you're travelling for 10 years, and Operation Transformation is 10 mm-hmm. years, and you've got your own companies, you know. Do you ever take a break? Like, like, do you have, like, when you've done all this now, is there something else on the cards as well? Or
I mean,
there's a lot
I'm
of people listening who would love to be doing what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, well, I feel, as I said, I feel very blessed and very fortunate that the two shows, I suppose, that define my career, like No Frontiers being one of them, it had a 10-year run, and then Operation Transformation has been on for 13 years. So I've been very lucky to be involved with TV shows mm-hmm. that have kind of, you know, stood the test of time in a world where the whole landscape of television is changing and the whole landscape of media is changing.
Yeah, the variety out
everything.
There.
Yeah, mm. the variety and stuff going online and podcasts and radio and everything is kind of, it's a different landscape than it was when I started, you know, 20 years ago. So to be honest, it's like at the end of February, I take a break because Operation Transformation is such a big juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing an awful lot of radio this year that's coming up, and Pure Results is which is flying now. We're almost 6 years in business.
Mm-hmm.
We've expanded to Spain, and so the working on the retreats doesn't feel like work. And I'm really lucky to say a lot of the work that I do doesn't feel like work.
Gotcha.
I love it. So, and I feel very privileged and to be able to say that, because when you love your work and it doesn't feel like work, you could do it all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think things have changed slightly now in the last couple of years since I've had Ellie, because I have a different focus, and my sole and primary focus is her, and everything else comes after it. But, you know, she's kind of an adaptable little thing as well. Like, she comes down to camp with me. And
we are talking about a child. I love it.
She's like, she travels with me. We've been to the States. We've been away. You know, she's been down on camp with me. The clients, we did our first boot camp in Spain last year, and we had 24 clients come out. And she was there, and she was in the classes, and she was rocking around the
Amazing.
Beach when we were boxing. So I feel really lucky that I'm able to bring her with me as part of that whole Pure Results work, you
mm-hmm.
know. And there's lots more I want to do. You know, we're writing different TV shows all the time. Anybody who works in the freelance industry knows, you know, you've got to kind of keep pushing.
Yeah.
Because you've got to develop stuff that you're interested in. And, you know, what I was interested in 10 years ago is different to what I'm interested in now.
Mm-hmm.
And what the television audiences look for now are different than maybe what they would have looked for 10 years ago. So it's about staying true to yourself as well and being confident enough to turn down the work that doesn't suit you, you know. And anybody who works for themselves kind of knows this, that, you know, you don't have the permanent pensionable job. Like, I've never known, you know, I never really know from 1 year to the next what I'm going to be doing or where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And that used to scare the absolute hell out of me in my mid-20s. And now that you just kind of have to have confidence in yourself, mm-hmm. that your abilities and your graft and your hard work and your ideas will mean that something will always be there for
yeah.
you. You know, you just have to have the confidence and the work ethic to go after it, really, at the end of the day. But you've got to make the right choices, because there's stuff that comes your way that for the short term might solve a financial hole or might kind of stop the worry or the hurt, that, you know, oh, well, at least I'm working. Whereas I think, you know, to have the confidence to know what suits you and know what's for you long term, that's kind of, you know, once you can hold your nerve, I think in the whole freelance industry, that's a key part to long term success.
And do you think there's any more countries on the hit list with pure results?
I'd love to, yeah. I mean, I'd love to expand it. For us going to Spain, because we've had clients and we have boot camps in Kerry, in Wexford mm-hmm. and in Wicklow. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of clients through the door going, now we know, Catherine, what you love. You love the Irish weather. You love the Irish landscape. But come on, bring us to the sunshine. So look, I think as an industry, you know, as we know, even just from looking at a festival like Wellfest, mm-hmm. There's a demand, there's an interest now. Everyone is kind of looking at their health and wellness and looking at it. And as an industry, it's an industry that is just, you know, it's exploding all over the world. So is this something that I'd like to take further afield? Absolutely, yes. I'd love to, you know, and I've been in talks with lots of different travel companies in terms of doing more sort of fitness holidays where it's not just, where you incorporate like travel from either, you know, one part of the country to another,
mm-hmm.
or cruise ships where you can bring on board.
Okay.
And so there's lots of possibilities. And I mean, it's just, it's so huge. I've also got a massive interest in trying to set something up for kids specifically,
mm-hmm.
and really promoting.
Ellie will be the brand ambassador for that.
Yes, exactly. Just making exercise
fun
for
kids.
Should
you walk into school now in 2 years with a rubber band? Like,
yeah. But like when our clients come down to us, they go, you know, it feels like summer camp for adults. So we've got them outboxing, hiking, mm-hmm. swimming, running, you know, doing a salt course, crawling under cargo nets, climbing up over hay bales. And these are either 20-year-old women or 60-year-old women.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just this exhilaration of fun again, you know. And our clients say to us all the time, it feels like summer camp for adults.
Yeah.
So for me to develop something that is specifically for kids and for children, and to remind kids and parents that actually exercise and fun, exercise can be fun, and it's just about getting out there, it doesn't need to be competitive at all. I think there's a big need for that mm-hmm. in Ireland.
Catherine, I could talk to you for hours. I really, really could, but unfortunately we are out of time. And chatting to someone like you, like I can relate to so much that you've done. You are so inspiring to talk to. What would your three main takeaways be for our listeners right now before we let you go?
For me, one of the key takeaways that I hope people will take from this is to find inner confidence. So when people come down to me, either on Pure Results or any of the leaders for Operation Transformation, I always say, if you could do a 6-week course in terms of building mental strength, in terms of building self-appreciation, mm-hmm. self-respect before you even start working out or eating well, I think that's a huge thing, because I think you need to find self-appreciation. I think self-love is a really difficult expression for people. I don't think it sits well or sits easy with a whole lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but understanding your capabilities, appreciating what you can do, appreciating all the brilliant things about yourself. We don't give ourselves enough appreciation. And I think there's so much negativity that can seep through. And I think there's so much comparing that we do in terms of social media and everything else. And I think it's really important that people find their own inner strength before tackling anything else. So mm-hmm. what I would say to people is, if you want to start losing weight, or if you want to start getting fitter, you want to put any regime, you got to start talking nicely to yourself. You can't go, I'm fat, I'm lazy, mm-hmm. I need to lose weight, I can't do this. You need to actually start with the positives and really work on what's positive about yourself and create that framework before you start doing anything else. And the other take home I would say is that you can't do anything significantly in terms of change without support. So whether that is with a friend, husband, personal trainer, mm-hmm. whatever that is, I really believe that it's very difficult to achieve great things without a strong framework of people or a person behind you, because you've got to you've got to have somebody who's going to be with you in the bad days, as well as somebody who's going to buoy you up in the good days. So that would be another thing. And again, get outside. For me, the biggest take home is we spend so long and days are busy. And I know, you know, there's people who go to work, you drop the kids off, then you might park in an underground car park, go to the gym, go and get the shopping. You know, there's so much of the day which we're actually inside four walls. And I think people underestimate the value of fresh air and being outside. So even if it's just for 5 minutes, get outside. If people think you're weird taking your shoes off outside your office and just standing with your feet in the grass, screw them, like, do it. It's amazing.
It actually does feel really nice.
It's so good, isn't it?
It really, really is, yeah. Lastly as well, where can people find you if they want to go follow you and keep up to date with what's happening in Catherine Thomas's life after this chat?
Probably the best place is Pure Results, which is www.pureresultsbootcamp.com. So all the information is on my retreats. Mm-hmm. Catherine Thomas Official is my website, and Catherine Thomas Official is my Instagram page as well.
Catherine Thomas, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a million.
You've been listening to the Wealthfest podcast with me, Marty Guilfoyle, brought to you by KBC. See you next time.